Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, you might recall that just at the beginning of September, we had mentioned that we're going to participate in a new special edition of Kaya Biz. Every Monday, 7 o'clock, we will be speaking to key entrepreneurs who have published phenomenal work. And the truth is, the story is what is shared in their books, but the work is the everyday experiences that they've had in their lives. And tonight we're joined by one such phenomenal individual who will give us some insight into his journey as an entrepreneur, having established it as early as high school, where he might have been the chosen one, as he was dubbed by his peers, having started off taking care of IT, studying a similar course, and then eventually evolving into being a key driver in shifting the narrative when it comes to media across the continent. We'll talk to him about his lessons when it comes to leadership, not only of self, even through the most difficult periods of his life, but also key lessons that he's learned in terms of leadership of others, knowing when to build and establish key partnerships, and also knowing when to let go. I am so excited. Tonight, my guest who is joining me is Zibusiso Mkhwanazi. He is the founder of Avatar as a key agency, and most importantly also serves as chairman of MNN, which is a network of advertising as well as brand agencies. Think of Mela Events, a few others as well, like Avatar, Boza, Zikipani, many of which we've all interacted with. But do make up a considerable part of shifting the narrative regarding influence of media across the African continent.
Kaya Biz.
With Google Tumfupi.
Zee, it was such a pleasure to have you in studio, sir.
Wow. The pleasure is mine. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you so much for joining us. I was telling you off air that we've been meaning to get you on the show for quite some time. And Eno kept on saying, Googs, this week. And I'd be like, Eno, not right now. I need to finish the book. Eno, wait, now it's this. But I was so enthralled when I read the book. I actually reread certain parts of it as well to make sure that I have a fresh perspective for today's conversation. But boy, oh boy, are you an amazing human being.
Wow. Praise God.
I mean, I've experienced it previously whenever we've interacted, but just to hear and read your story through the book really provides a very different perspective. Yeah. And I guess true to nature, when you mentioned that you started being an entrepreneur as early as high school, yeah, I wasn't surprised by that. I was surprised by you actually starting off in IT.
Proper geek.
Exactly, right? Yeah. But maybe if you do just give us a very brief overview, you know, just in terms of the passion for entrepreneurship that many people might not be familiar with, which largely stems from your mother's work ethic as well.
So good evening to everyone. You know, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be on Kaya with you, Google. You know, always exciting time.
Thank you.
Entrepreneurship was inbred from my grandmother. Yes. You know, a Soweto in Fulo who used to sell cool drinks. You know, grew up in that environment. My mom used to make curtains, but not just any curtains. She used to make curtains for the likes of Rebecca Malope, Black Mambazo, Winnie Mandela, etc., etc. You know, so, you know, she was making curtains, but like on another level, you know. And, you know, further to that, you know, eventually my dad comes into the story. I found out he's an entrepreneur as well. You know, like extended family members are entrepreneurs. So I've generally grown up in an entrepreneurial environment, you know. So the bug was, I wasn't going to escape from that thing. You know, the bug bit me a long time ago.
Exactly. Much so you were the chosen one in high school. I say that deliberately because if anyone reads the book, they'll understand the context. But I think it
that
really
used to irritate me. Whenever they used to say that, I'm like, no, guys, like, no, I want to be just me.
Really? You know, not when the principal is calling you to the office to fix the hardware. You definitely were the chosen one. What also intrigued me about your entrepreneurship journey, and you know, as I reflect on the different experiences you've had, founding Sisonke, moving to Avatar, then Crazy Boys, even where you are now with MNN, partnership has always been key to your growth.
100%.
You've never just gone into business alone and believing that you can be the sole conqueror. Yeah. There's a critical lesson for us to learn through that.
1,000,000%. So, you know, when I started, you know, many people ask, so when your mother gives you the 2,000 rand, how did you scale it?
Mm-hmm.
It scaled because of partnership. Because with that 2,000 rand, I was able to, Well, one, okay, buy a few stocks, and I made a little bit of money off stocks.
It wasn't right? A little. You were very smart. I think you must be, you know, relishing at this bull rally we're seeing right now.
I don't invest anymore, but I used to.
Gotcha.
Right? So, made a bit of money. But from that money, what I actually did with it was created partnerships with students, right? So when I started the business, they were creating websites for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first set of partnerships where I used to use their student portfolios to show our capability as a business. Way
yes.
back, this was what, year 2000, 2001 or
sure.
so, right? And first sets of partnerships. Then we got our first bits of deals here and there. But for us to scale, to really start scaling, right, it took more partnerships for that to happen because it was the advent of website design, right? These things look terrible and nobody knew whether they belonged to the IT department or the marketing department.
Yes.
Well, then they belonged to the IT department, you know. And, you know, whenever you looked at this thing, man, it just looked like an A4 piece of paper that
right.
had chicken scratch on it, and that looked like a website. And we came with different thinking where we kind of went, look, why can't they be more appealing?
Mm.
And we worked with ad agencies on their clients, right? So all of a sudden we were working with big insurance companies, banks, etc., etc., large organizations through, you know, advertising agencies and becoming their back end to enable those websites to happen because they didn't have the technology know-how and we did.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, created, you know, the big, I would say, transaction size where we're typically transacting maybe 15,000 rand per transaction to about 150,000, you know, and that's when the scale started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all partnerships.
I think this is so important for entrepreneurs to learn as well, because typically
yeah.
we like to do things in isolation,
yeah.
that this is my area of expertise, this is
yeah.
my field that I want to get into alone. But even as your business grew and evolved
yeah.
From Sisonke to
yeah.
Avatar and the various brands that you've partnered with, that's always been at the ethos of partnership. You
yeah.
know, the beauty of it and also the difficulty of it. And one of the things that I also respect about you is knowing when to walk away.
Yeah.
Typically as entrepreneurs, when our emotions are involved, and
yeah.
this has been my project for years,
yeah.
Hey, it's difficult to cut those strings.
And that's, you know, as we talk about partnership and with that in mind, you know, one of the worst things you can get wrong is the wrong partners.
Yes.
Right? Which I've done.
Mm.
Right? So went in there thinking, okay, now we're going to take over the world, and the world took over me instead.
Got
right?
you.
I actually went flat broke because I never took the time to choose my partners right. Right. Sometimes we go into partnerships because we're friendly with each other.
Right.
right? But no, those are not the reasons why you go into a partnership. You know, I think that according to me, the biggest strength you can have as an entrepreneur is understanding your weaknesses and your strengths.
Yes.
Right. And wherever you're weak, you need someone that will balance you, right? So that your weaknesses become strengths. And when the both of you or the three of you, whatever the partnership looks like,
mm-hmm.
are together, then you form this super team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sorry to go into the cartoon world. Growing up, I used to be a huge fan of Captain Planet.
Really?
And when
he's
everyone
the hero.
Used their rings, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
And then you get Captain Planet, right? Emma 2000 will not know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it was
about,
an amazing cartoon.
Anyway.
I yeah. remember it. The blue, he was blue with green hair, if I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes, but it's the same philosophy of partnership, right? When you mm-hmm. each bring something to the table, and when it comes together, then it becomes this amazing thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And I look at my existing partnership now with Veli,
mm-hmm.
right? My business partner at Avatar and MNN. Like, I'm a super introvert. He's a super extrovert,
yeah.
right? I'm the strategist. He's the creative. And that coming together now forms, you know, the largest black-owned ad agency in the country.
Let's talk about that, because in one of the latter chapters of the book, you actually talk about the metrics of ownership, especially
yeah.
transformation, the slow rate at which
yeah.
it has transformed, especially from an ownership, management and control point of view
yeah.
when it comes to black-owned media
yeah.
agencies. And I believe the numbers that we only own, what, 5% of the market?
Yeah, yeah.
Coupled with that, this is an industry that's worth, what, 60 billion rand
yeah, yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
upwards. So clearly there's work to be done here.
Yes.
And I think this is an important point that we need to emphasize, because this essentially takes us through the evolution of your role as an entrepreneur, now playing a very critical function at MNN.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this. So when we see advertising, you know, we see more black faces in the room. We see our colleagues and counterparts
yeah.
winning awards. I need to congratulate you, by the way, because of last week's award. Yes, it's the Mark Award, right? Agency Leader Award.
Agency Leader of the Year, yes.
Of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But back to my question and theme on transformation, because I think it's one that we often miss. Because we see more faces and more color and more vibrant adverts, and we fail to question, hold on, but who is running this? Who owns it? Who is shaping the narrative around advertising and media?
Yeah. Look, the reality, you know, to your point, is it's majority owned by global agencies, right? South African agencies have got a very small piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And what creates this is particularly in media. When, let's say, if I wanted to buy media at a radio station, right? Let's say a typical bank will spend anything, let's say 100 million rand per campaign, right? So it means that if you're going to buy media for 100 media, you have to have credit worth 100 media.
Gotcha.
Sorry, 100 million, right? So to get credit worth 100 million, you need assets worth 100 million.
Got you.
Right? And so that's just one bank. So imagine a few of them, right?
Got you.
So that's what creates that barrier to entry, because to get in, you need very deep pockets and a big balance sheet to make an impact.
How do we change that? Because this is part of your vision at MNN.
Well, fundamentally, it's thinking outside. Talk about a business that I created, our media business called AMA. Again, guess what? Partnership. So I went into a partnership with Park Advertising, where I said to them, look, I've got the clients, right? I'm a growing agency and you're a global agency. You've got the deep pockets. Let's go into partnership together, right? We use your deep pockets. You have access to my brand, my clients. That opens up opportunity,
as an example.
That's the only way that it changes, through partnerships, because you are literally fighting against dollars and pounds.
That puts things into perspective when you put it that way. Because
I
think so often as entrepreneurs, we tend to get swayed by, you know, just thinking within the environment that we're in. But when you say we're competing with dollars and pounds, then we really do need to make sure that there's a heightened level of camaraderie. But I'm also keen to understand, when it comes to capital raising in the local market, are we finding that there's appetite for an industry and a space like yours, which at times is not fully understood?
It's not understood. I mean, you look at it, you know, at its infancy. When a child says, I'm going to do advertising, the parents are like, oh, so you're going to draw cartoons?
Yeah. You know? That's the first interaction most black people have had with an advertising
industry. Absolutely. You know, it's misunderstood, you know, because it's in the arts, you know, and the arts tends to have that, you know, it's a chance industry. So I think fundamentally that's where the problem is. But to get over that problem, it will take a lot of education, you know, in schools in particularly. Also, you know, amongst the older generation as well.
100%. We need to play ads just to you would understand,
course.
Right? Because of the space that we're in.
I hope one of them is mine.
I hope so too. Let's see. But as we take a breather, we will come back to this conversation. I do want us to extend your time and push it a little further, because there's so much more that I want to discuss with you. But as we get ready to go to ads, Captain Planet, here's a gentle reminder of what it sounded like for those of you who aren't familiar.
I am Captain Planet.
At Kaya on 959.
Let me take a selfie.
On Instagram.
You're probably wondering, what? Cuckoo, a gospel song when we are in the middle of an entrepreneur conversation? Well, that's because this particular song is of great significance to my guest who's joining us tonight. He is the co-founder of Avatar and currently serves as the chairman of MNN, a global media agency really representing the continent with the holding of companies that it has. Zibusiso Mkhwanazi is my guest tonight. I play that deliberately because I was hoping that we would get the reaction we wanted out of you. We've spoken about the glitz and glamour of entrepreneurship, how you started off in high school through partnerships, built a business off of 2,000 Rand, and now you are a phenomenally successful entrepreneur. You've won multiple awards, recognized by the World Economic Forum. Just last week, you won an award that we commented on. And yet, it was at one of your most difficult scenarios in life that this song was of significance to you, Ngikhokhele by IPCC.
Yeah.
I don't need us to go into the story because that's why the book is there.
Yes.
But I do think this is a beautiful moment of reflection on how, in as much as we live in a world of entrepreneurship driven by numbers, metrics, and deals, at the end of the day, we are human beings.
Yes.
And we've got our mental capacity and our health to take care of.
Yes.
And for you, your faith was that anchor. There's 100%. A lesson there for entrepreneurs in terms of how we show up and take care of ourselves when it comes to our mental health.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, when I reflect in summary is, you know, when I started before I found my faith, I was very transactional, right? So everything was about transactions, about money, it's about hustle, et cetera, et cetera. Up until I lost everything, and that's when I found my faith. And in finding my faith, then I knew that actually there's a greater God than me that's in charge. You know, yes, it's important to hustle, you know, but it's got to be driven by something. You know, there's got to be a deep driver within your soul that keeps you going, right? And that's what gave me the inspiration. That's what gave me the will. That's what gave me the strength to restart the business again after deep failure.
Yeah.
Right? And this time in doing it with purpose, right? And now it wasn't only about transaction, but it was about what difference am I making in society? What difference am I making to my clients? What difference am I making to the people that I own? And it was that center which still forms my culture till today. It's formed on a center of love and care.
Yes.
And it comes from that moment. So that's the thing. In business, spirituality is very important, right? Because, you know, I always say that you can work Monday to Friday from 6 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock until late hours of the evening, you know, but you're also a human being. You know, you get tired, you know, when you are pricked, you do bleed. You know, everyone sees you as Superman, but the reality is you are a human being and you need a place to go to at times. You need a place to cry to at times. You need a place where you can, you know, just be vulnerable, you know. And for me, my faith was exactly that. Right. It enabled me to center. And with that center, when I go back into the business world, right, no matter what is coming at me, I live by this one scripture that goes, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength.
Yes.
So nothing can break me down.
Yeah.
You know, no balance sheet, nothing.
100%.
Right? And that's why we just keep on growing.
This definitely speaks to not only the culture that you've mentioned of love and care, right, that you also highlight in your book, but this is important because, as you can imagine, this is a business show. Usually it's just, what's the strategy? What's the numbers? What are the outcomes? How do we as consumers benefit?
Yeah.
But I appreciate that you've said that we don't need to separate business from our faith and understanding that you do need a level of support for yourself as an entrepreneur. That takes me to my next question on your blueprint of surviving the COVID-19 pandemic at Avatar. Yeah. You did not let go of a single staff member, and that's something that needs to be applauded. And I believe, you know, it's definitely, you know, acknowledge by other participants in the industry to say you did something right there.
Yeah.
It came with a lot of sacrifice, but this is also where there was a key learning and lesson in terms of culture, which I think so often we tend to take for granted within the workspaces that we're in.
You know, I remember a conversation between me and my business partner Veli, and it went something like this: if there was a war in South Africa, what we would do is we would buy tanks, park them at the gate, right, and continue working and servicing our clients and employing more people.
Wow.
Right? That's what we would do. And COVID was exactly that. You know, it was a war of a different kind, you know, with a disease. And as a business, the right thing to do from a financial perspective was to go into mass retrenchments. Because, you know, as you know, with the my industry in advertising and marketing, when budgets are being cut, that's where you start.
Yep.
You know, and we felt it during COVID. No, but we resolved, you know, between me and my partner, that there is no ways we are letting go of anyone. right? These people have been through us, with us, through the worst times in the business. And now that we're going through this, we're not going to let them go. We'd rather all go down together if we're going to go down.
And that it's important that we all understand the perspective here. This is everyone from the driver.
Everybody.
To the lady who helps you out with tea, for meetings, right up to you as executives. So this is far-reaching.
Yes. So we didn't let go of anybody. Because where were they going to go? Where were they going to find jobs? You know? And that's because, again, in a culture of love and care, people form the center of that culture. So instead, what we did is we hustled like crazy. I don't know how many COVID-19 campaigns we created. And in the middle of COVID, we got SARS, the most loved ad, one of the most loved ads in the country, in the middle of COVID, right? For COVID campaign. So instead of thinking, let go, but it was about, within this disease, where do we find opportunity? We started working with the presidency. So when on the family meetings, when the president would go on, we would support his family meetings with the stuff we saw on social media. Mm. And the media was using our infographics to simplify the complexity of that speech, right? So that you can understand, when we're on level one, what actions do I need to take? And, you know, that was very meaningful work because we were helping to save lives.
100%. And I appreciate that you say you were extending love and care to your staff as well, even though you haven't always been on the receiving end of love and care. No. There's been some difficulties that you've had to navigate. Yeah. But chin held up high. And I think more than anything, there's a lesson of integrity, that you stick by your word, you show up by being credible and being a person of your character. And for entrepreneurs, so often, maybe even more so in the creative industry, we find ourselves being so easily swayed. Mm-hmm. I know that there isn't necessarily a crash course in integrity and great character.
Yeah.
But through the leadership and mentorship work you do in your foundation and even at your church, church, how do you ensure that this resonates with entrepreneurs who are still coming up?
Yeah. You know, like, either, again, there's a philosophy I live by in that, you know, the easiest way to learn a culture is by being an inspiration of that culture.
Yes.
Right? And I'm going to say this in Zulu.
Yes.
Right? I think it's the best way I can express it. You know, whenever I speak to the young people at church, right, and the leaders at church, I always say to them that, you know, those young people must want to be where you are, right? So it means that your behavior needs to inspire them to want to be pastors one day.
Yes.
Right? But they need to see it from you, right? That's the most basic culture. And as a business person, you need to be that inspirational character that when they see you, right, they want to be like you, you know. And that's how you inspire a new generation. And that's how you inspire a different type of thinking, right? It starts with one person's behavior. I love the story about the shellfish story where this boy is walking on a beach and there's these thousands of shellfish, or starfish, sorry, and then he's throwing them back. An adult comes, you know?
Yes.
And he says, when are you going to finish all of these starfish? You know, what difference is it going to make? And then he takes another one and throws it into the water. And he says, but it made a difference to that, that one.
That's
so
true.
It's the action of one person. There were not many Mandelas. There were one. There was one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Zivu, I'm going to squeeze in two more minutes. The team is telling me time. Okay, but there is a voice note that I do want us to get to that was raised by one of our listeners, Ntogozo Makhubu, who's asking a question related to a theme that you mentioned earlier regarding partnerships.
Okay, my question would be, with the partnership conversation, how often do you review to see that the partnership still fits the purpose? Yeah.
You heard the question? Reviewing the partnership. So maybe as we begin to wrap it up, you're concluding, you know, thoughts and feedback for entrepreneurs related to this question on reviewing them.
You know, with partnerships, it's about what you want out of them. They're like a marriage.
Yeah.
It's about if you want it to work, you better water it,
exactly.
Right? And so for partnerships to work, you need to put in the work, right? It's about what output can they still produce, right? And as long as they're producing whatever output, the partnership is still very valid, right? And if you want more out of the partnership, plant in more, you'll get more out.
100%. Plant in more and you'll get more out. Zibo, I really don't want to let you go. There's so much that we can discuss. We haven't even spoken about the different aspects of your work, from the private sector to the public sector, even working with political parties to help them shape their messaging, ideas that come from the shower. I'm a fan of this book. Anyone who hasn't read it, please do make sure that you get it. Business by Grace by Zibusiso Mkhwanazi. Your parting shot, especially to individuals who perhaps struggle to wear multiple hats. Yeah. You're a philanthropist. You're an entrepreneur. You're someone who is deeply rooted in your faith and happy to acknowledge that and pass it on to other entrepreneurs. So much so that you develop entrepreneurs through your foundation, through your church experience. You trust and love and build a solid community around you. And even when things don't go your way, you still show up with integrity. Those are many hats to wear. You're a husband. You're a father. To your parting shot to entrepreneurs who find themselves feeling overwhelmed by the many titles, wearing the cape, and really trying to shift the narrative going forward.
Yeah. So growing up, I always believed in this philosophy that you don't find yourself. You create who you want to be, right? And create the attributes about yourself. Create the behaviors, character, everything. Create it. And for me, to be able to manage all of that is because it's a creation that I have purposefully and intentionally created.
Gotcha.
Where I have said that with my morning from 3 o'clock up until 4 o'clock, I will be doing this. So that's the time where I connect. And from 4 o'clock up until 6 o'clock, I'm going to be on my mails. And when my kids wake up, right, I'm going to spend a bit of time with them, right? So all of these things are very intentional.
Mm.
You know, throughout the day, I know the things that I need to do. I make sure I've got the right people around me where I can push things at them that I do not need to focus on. And it's being very, very intentional because you know what your outputs are, you know. So from spiritual life, everything is intentional.
Mm.
So it's literally just about being intentional about what you want to achieve, right? And when you're intentional about it, then it's working backwards, right? Mm. So who is important, you know, where should I be spending my time, what should I be doing, etc., etc., and have a great diary.
Create the life you want to live.
Yeah.
Oh, Zibo, thank you so much for your time, sir. I truly appreciate it. You have someone I've long admired and respected in the industry. And after reading your book, and of course, every interaction with you just continues to be a phenomenal one.
Thank you. Likewise.
Everyone. Thank you, sir. Long may this last, onwards and upwards. And can't wait to see more of the amazing work that comes out of the Eminent Group.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is Zibusiso Mkhwanazi, chairman of MNN, as well as co-founder of Avatar, fundamentally playing a critical role within the media and advertising environment, not only in South Africa, but right across the continent. Also an entrepreneur who started literally from the ground up and has evolved throughout the years in terms of key themes and his impact and development he's had in society. The author of Business by Grace. Available at any good bookstore.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.